T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hour two of three on the Chris and Amy show. We mentioned the hurricane that came through Jamaica. We knew about it. The buildup leading to it was that it was going to be one of the worst storms that we have seen, potentially the worst storm to ever go through Jamaica, the worst storm that developed on the planet in 2025. To talk more about that with us and what the actual end result was ended up being is AccuWeather meteorologist Alex Da Silva, who joins us now on KMOX. Alex, we appreciate your time today. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Alex, with this storm, which I know, I believe has been brought down to a Category 2 storm as it hits Cuba, which I do want to get to. But first, was this storm that Category 5 full force when it hit Cuba yesterday? Jamaica yesterday?
Yeah, and indeed it was. It was sustained winds of 185 miles per hour, which ties it for the second strongest storm ever in the Atlantic Basin. The record is Hurricane Allen at 190 miles per hour, so it was about 5 miles an hour short of the all-time record in the Atlantic. And then if we look at atmospheric pressure, it had 892 millibars of atmospheric pressure, and that is third on the list for the all-time record in the Atlantic Basin. So this was a top three storm in the Atlantic Basin when it made landfall there in western Jamaica, and then it crossed the channel between Jamaica and Cuba and then made landfall this morning as a Category 3 hurricane in eastern Jamaica earlier.
So just from a real-world perspective, not everybody listening knows what you mean when you talk about millibars and pressure and all of that. What does that then feel like on the ground, or how does that manifest on the ground?
Yeah, that's a great question. I always like to think of it as if you are driving up a mountain, right? You're kind of driving up a mountain, and then all of a sudden your ears start to pop because of the pressure changes. So that's essentially what's going on in the middle of a hurricane. The lowest pressure is at the middle of the hurricane, right in the center of the eye. And, you know, if you were in the eye, conditions would be calm, relatively speaking, because all the bad weather is in the eye wall, but your ears would pop almost as if you were coming up or down a mountain because of those pressure changes that are in the middle of the hurricane.
Here in St. Louis, the city suffered an EF3 tornado that struck the city back in May, and it was just devastating. But so many people in the path of that tornado mentioned their ears popping, their heads feeling like they were going to explode as that tornado was over them. I imagine that's that same thing, like the hurricane pressure.
Yeah, exactly. Tornadoes can produce some low pressures as well, on a much smaller scale, of course, compared to a hurricane. But yeah, it would be similar to that, where your ears would pop, if you were around the center of the hurricane.
They were seeing reports that 3/4 of Jamaica is without power. The western half of the country hit the hardest. a lot of blocked roads, communication outages, obviously. What do we know so far of the extent of the damage or casualties?
Yeah, the good news is the weather is cooperating this morning. The winds have substantially died down and most of the rain has moved out. So that is certainly going to be good news for rescue and recovery efforts during the day today. So good news there. But the communication issues are still going to be continuing probably for the foreseeable future. So getting images out of Western Jamaica have been slow so far. We've seen some come in this morning, and the damage is absolutely catastrophic. Mm-hmm. Even though the storm made landfall in a fairly low populated area, the storm still did move inland, and the eye wall still passed over the western portion, or the western eye wall, rather, still did hit Montego Bay, which is a big tourist spot there in Jamaica. So a lot of folks did get impacted, unfortunately, and I think it's going to be days to weeks until we really know the scope of the true damage in Western Jamaica.
Sometimes the most devastating aspect is the water and not the wind, that there is flooding. How bad was the flooding there, and how long does it take for something like that to subside so that people can get through and rescue operations can start?
Yeah, I mean, the storm surge where the storm actually made landfall was likely between 10 to 15 feet, if not a little bit more, right where the eye made landfall. So that water just came straight inland into whatever structures were there. And then in terms of the rainfall, we've been talking about it for days, how slow the storm was moving at the time. We haven't gotten any really official reports in for rain yet, but I imagine, we were probably measuring the rainfall in feet there. We were calling for between 1 to 3 feet of rain across Jamaica. So that flooding rain is going to take a very long time to subside. I've seen some pictures of water up, over car height in some areas around the western portion of Jamaica. So we're concerned about that and mudslides as well. There were likely many, many mudslides, as Jamaica is an extremely mountainous country, and then all of that water runs down those mountains and causes the mudslides. So unfortunately, it's likely to take weeks, if not months. I mean, we remember back in the United States to Helene, which hit, of course, the southern Appalachians experienced all that devastating flooding. There's some regions there that are still recovering to this day, and that's, a year after the event. Jamaica doesn't have necessarily the same infrastructure as the United States. So for them, it's likely to take years potentially in some areas to fully recover from this storm.
Mm. Well, and just getting an update now from CNN that just as of a few minutes ago, Melissa passed over the northern coast of Cuba and entered the Atlantic Ocean for the first time, is still a Category 2 hurricane and is headed toward the Bahamas. What do we know or what can we expect of the strength of the storm when it hits the Bahamas, and what kind of damage a Category 2 how that could impact the islands?
Yeah, so the Bahamas are built pretty well just because of where they're located, dealing with hurricanes. But this is still going to bring down trees, power lines, stuff like that. Category 2 winds are still extremely strong. So I would still expect there to be some damage there in the Bahamas, as well as a 3 to 6 foot storm surge into the Bahamas. So we will be seeing some storm surge flooding, some damaging winds as well, shingles probably coming off of houses, stuff like that, as well as some flooding rain as well. So, of course, the damage will not be as extensive as what we saw in western Jamaica and eastern Cuba, but we're still likely to see a lot of issues in the southern Bahamas and in the Turks and Caicos throughout the day today. The storm moves past tonight, so I think after tonight the storm should be clear of the Bahamas, and then the next stop will be tomorrow night, coming by Bermuda to the west tomorrow night.
August, September, October, usually known as pretty heavy hurricane months. So do we expect that we could get more storms like this as we go into November, maybe beyond that, or are we about done for the year, you think?
I think we could still see maybe one or two. I mean, the hurricane season, of course, goes through the end of November. But those water temperatures are still awfully warm, especially in the western Caribbean. So I think there's a chance that we could see one, maybe two more storms. Hopefully they don't move towards the United States. But typically in November, there's that opportunity a little bit closer to the United States to see some development. Last year we actually saw 3 named storms. Don't necessarily think we'll see that many this year, but we definitely want people to at least be paying attention to the tropics. Those waters are still warm and the season's not over yet.
Well, we will continue to wait for the updates coming out of Jamaica. You mentioned the flooding, the winds. We know that passed over. But now that the worst part is over, as far as the storm itself, are there any repercussions in the sense that, well, whether it's a meteorological element or a natural element that actually compounds the situation? Do you know what I mean? Not just infrastructure, but certain natural repercussions because of the flooding or what it could affect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, the problem is you can have a lot of mold issues and stuff like that. So sometimes that can take weeks and weeks in these areas that, you know, buildings flooded and stuff like that. Of course, we saw that, you know, most famously in Hurricane Katrina, where, you know, businesses, you know, had so much water that there was, you know, and these are tropical areas. So it's warm. It's not cold in these areas. So, you know, the heat can, you know, aid in mold growth and stuff like that. So, mosquitoes, you know, there could be more mosquitoes right in the standing water, you know, stuff like that. So there are repercussions when it comes to stuff like that. You know, there's probably going to be a lot of mold issues for weeks and months to come. You know, the mosquito population is likely to go up in some areas just due to the fact that the standing water, they like to lay their eggs in the more standing water. So there can be repercussions, especially due to excess standing water.
AccuWeather meteorologist Alex Da Silva, we thank you for talking this over with us today and appreciate your coverage.
Thank you.
Alex Da Silva joining us here on KMOX.
Matt, what he brought up about the warmth and the moisture and the mold, I mean, so many health issues on top of, you know, the flooding.
And that's
the
long-lasting stuff, too.
Right. Yeah. That the threat, the risk for disease in the weeks and months to come. We are praying for those in Jamaica. It's just terrible.
Amy Marks Corps, Chris Ranji at the bottom of the hour, 10:30. We're going to talk to Dan Zimborski, Fangraphs writer. We'll talk about the World Series and the Dodgers payroll and how he expects things to move forward as we see the reality of a potential lockout happening after 2026. That is not the sort of thing that we want to talk about when it comes to baseball, but it's looking more and more likely that is going to happen. But we've also been talking a lot about costs going up for Americans. Things are expensive and they're getting more expensive, and tariffs have been a part of that. But a Senate resolution is aimed to block some of those tariffs. We're going to talk about that and what the effect might be next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Chris Ranji, Amy Marks scores with you on, is it Wednesday already?
It doesn't matter.
It does not matter.
Why does it matter?
It does not matter. So Senate Republicans here voted yesterday to approve a resolution that would block President Trump's tariffs on Brazil. And there were five Republicans joining Democrats to back the measure in what they're calling a rebuke to the president. It could be, it's not going to pass the House, most likely. But what they are doing is they are sending a message, because the vote to approve the measure, again, to approve the measure to block Trump's tariffs, was 52-48 with Republican Senators Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Tom Tillis, Mitch McConnell, and then Rand Paul joining the Democrats to vote in favor. The resolution required a simple majority. And as we said, they're probably just sending a message here because it's not going to pass the House. However, congressmen, women have said that Donald Trump does pay attention if he starts to lose the support of some Senate Republicans. So they're hoping to send an effective message to the president regarding these tariffs.
Yeah, I don't know how effective it's going to be, and maybe it is, because other than Rand Paul, who is sort of his own thing and has so much pull in Kentucky mm-hmm. as it is, that he's really in no danger of ever losing his seat if he decides to continue to be a senator. But the others that we're talking about who voted in favor of this, Senators Tillis and Collins and Murkowski, we're talking about people that know either are not going to run again or know that there's a very good chance they're probably not going to win anyway the next time they do run. So I wish there were more senators who would have jumped on board with this, but there's clearly a fear within the Republican Party that they're just not going to cross the president no matter what. But these are people. It's and McConnell, too. Mitch McConnell, I think he knows that it's almost over for him mm-hmm. in terms of public service. I just wish more Republicans who felt like they were going to be around for a while were to have a little bit of guts here and go along with this, because costs are going up for people. That was a big talking point leading up to the election in November. Everything's too expensive. This is too expensive. That's too expensive. Gas and food. And we talked about grocery prices. When do we talk about grocery prices anymore? All that went away. But things are not less expensive. Coffee is going up. Beef, fruit, clothing and shoes. And a lot of this does have to do with tariffs.
It does.
But we do not hammer that point home the way we did 6 months ago.
So Donald Trump has invoked multiple times President William McKinley and how he was a champion of tariffs. McKinley was, as Trump told an audience at the House Republican Policy Retreat, the big tariff sheriff. Oh, speaking of sheriffs, the tariff sheriffs. And Trump has said, well, McKinley's tariffs, they made, quote, a lot of money for the country. He went on to say that the country became rich and that it was tragic when he was assassinated and that Teddy Roosevelt was basically riding the coattails of the tariff money. However, what President Trump doesn't look at is the full context of McKinley and how the tariffs proved to be disastrous, so much so because it drove prices up enormously for people, that what ensued was what they call the Congressional Massacre. So the McKinley tariff was enacted by the Republican Congress. And again, we're going way back. We're going to 1890 here, which was also a very different time, not nearly as global as the world. And Benjamin Harrison was president. And when the McKinley tariff was enacted, it raised prices on all of these household goods. So what happened is the cost of living just skyrocketed, and they have what happened was, quote, instant political catastrophe for the Republicans. The tariffs were so unpopular because they drove prices up so high that Republicans lost 93 of their 179 seats in the House, which was more than half of their caucus. So overnight, Republicans went from a 179-152 majority to being outnumbered 238-86. And then when McKinley doubled down on tariffs and he won the Ohio governorship, Benjamin Harrison lost office and they brought back Grover Cleveland, who was free trade. So again, all of this was not solely the tariffs, but really driven by the tariffs. Grover Cleveland gave the Democrats their first trifecta of the White House and congressional control since before the Civil War. So, like, you could see how disastrous this was. It's not historically a winning policy for Republicans. It's also not a winning policy just for constituents. And that's what Mitch McConnell said. He issued a rather scathing statement about the tariffs. He brought up Kentuckians and talked about how Kentuckians are being hurt by these tariffs, and that it has, he said, retaliatory tariffs on American products have turned agricultural income upside down for many in Kentucky's 70,000 family farms.
And we also talk about how about soybeans here locally? The soybean farmers are just getting absolutely destroyed because of the China tariffs.
Yeah, and he said basically these tariffs are causing, quote, avoidable harm. It's avoidable harm. And so he said, this week, I will vote in favor of resolutions to end emergency tariff authorities.
Well, I don't know how this is all going to play out. And the markets have not yet responded in a, and I'm talking like stock markets have not necessarily responded in a negative way, just because I think a lot of companies, a lot of entities aren't, I don't think they take the tariff seriously sometimes. Or if it's something beyond that, but it's almost like, yeah, he says he's going to do this, but he doesn't actually follow through with it. So, you know, we haven't adjusted too much. But at some point, it is going to become unmanageable for a lot of American companies and people here locally. What we know is that is just way too expensive for a lot of goods, and things have to change there. Amy Marks Corps, Chris Ranji.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In the air to left field, but Straw is there, and the Blue Jays win it.
Highlight on Sportsnet. The World Series is ongoing. It is tied at 2 after the Blue Jays won yesterday. There were two winners in that series yesterday. The Dodgers won early yesterday morning, and then the Blue Jays ended up winning later on at night. Series tied at 2. And we have also been paying a lot of attention to what's going to happen next. There's going to be a baseball season in 2026, but it's what happens after that that has our attention, and the possibility of a lockout happening seems to be getting more and more likely as the days go by. To talk about that with us, senior writer for FanGraphs and contributor to ESPN, Dan Zimborski joins us on KMOX. How's it going, Dan? Do we hear Dan? Is he with us? Hello, Dan.
Hi.
Oh, we got you.
Hey.
Yeah, we got you. What's up, Dan?
Well, we've had some fun in the World Series, and we've all kind of recovered from the double game we had the other day.
Yeah, first of all, before we get into the serious, awful baseball stuff, let's get into the more fun stuff. What we have seen Shohei Ohtani do, for example, after having just an unbelievable night in that 6.5 hour, almost 7 hour game, and then having to wake up later that day and start a game as a pitcher. Just everything he is doing, he is unbelievable, Dan. Is he the best ever?
I always hate to not hedge, but he's at least unique in what he can do. Babe Ruth did not actually hit and pitch at the same time to the degree that Ohtani did. He's one of those guys that passes probably the so-called bus test, that if he got run over by a downtown bus tomorrow, that they would almost certainly waive the 10-year requirement for the Hall of Fame and he'd get in very quickly. And you can't really say that about many players.
Yeah, I think that when you have the casual fans' attention, which he certainly does, that means quite a bit. So watching him play, knowing that it's such a difficult thing to do, is it possible that we will see another one of him at some point down the road, a guy who can do both at the same time and do it well?
I think you'll have teams explore it more. You have seen more tinkering with players, but it's very hard to be great at one thing in baseball. Mm-hmm. But Ohtani is great at two very different things in baseball. It's almost like a multi-sport talent. It's like saying Ohtani would just, he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback half the year or something. It's hard to say because I don't know even how to word this. He's just so special that I don't know if anyone can actually do what he does.
Yeah, I made the comparison yesterday. It would be as if Tom Brady, the best quarterback of all time, or also the best defensive end, and was throwing for hundreds of yards, and he got four sacks, and he had four sacks. You know, like, it would be insane. It doesn't even make sense. One of my, I think every time I see Ohtani, like Ronj said, I mean, it's a spectacle. It reminds me of when fans would stop to watch Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa back in the 90s, watch them bat. But every game, he's more endearing to fans because he was interviewed before game one of the World Series. Asked in that championship series game when he had 10 strikeouts and 3 home runs, was that his best game ever? And he said, well, maybe, but I'm pretty, he was bummed he couldn't get through the seventh inning. He was focused on the seventh inning. He was disappointed. That level of drive, how can you not love that?
Yeah, in some way, I don't mean this to sound denigrating, but he's this generation's Bo Jackson. Bo wasn't, of course, a great baseball player the way Ohtani was, but Bo had that, his thing was the athleticism to play baseball, football, and the whole Bo Knows commercial that made you believe that Bo could pretty much do anything.
Yeah.
You could say, Ohtani next year is going to decide to be a Gold Glove shortstop. That sounds like a silly thing to predict, but I wouldn't put it past him just because of what he's done so far. He kind of gets the benefit of the doubt for craziness.
Dan Zimborski of FanGraphs and contributor to ESPN is with us on KMOX. Now let's get to the not-so-fun stuff. We have two teams in the World Series. One of them, the Dodgers, with the highest payroll in the game. The Blue Jays are top five, so it's not like they are a little engine that could kind of thing. I mean, that's they're also spending a lot of money. And we know there's a labor fight coming up, that owners want a salary cap. And this World Series will probably be used as a pretext to say, look, we can't win the World Series without spending $350 million. So what is going to happen here? And that's first. And I guess secondly, is it true that you can't win a World Series unless you spend like the Blue Jays or the Dodgers do?
Well, I think there is going to be a work stoppage. I think we're going to have another lockout next winter. Not that I want that, because, you know, I cover baseball for a living, and it's good for the thing you cover for a living to exist. we discovered that during COVID.
Yeah, we don't talk about that enough.
but the fundamental problem is that the owners have something they really, really want, and the players, from their point of view, is that everything that's proposed reduces their share of the growth of the game. You look at baseball, and if baseball is a revenue problem, a lot of it is how baseball's revenue sharing system is designed. The way it is, if the Tampa Bay Rays invest more in their team, they lose revenue sharing money because owners have chosen to share money on the basis not of success or investment in their team, which would incentivize teams to improve. They invested based on revenue, which kind of makes this kind of catch-22 for players. I think that one of the things that really upsets players is that salaries as a percentage of baseball's revenue has been shrinking for the last decade, and many of baseball's newest sources of revenue, international revenue, streaming revenue, increased merchandising revenues, all that is equally shared, with the exception of locally produced team shop or things that they license themselves. So both sides have something they're very unhappy about, and I don't see a lot of creative solutions to kind of bridge that gap. So I think we're headed towards a mess, and we're going to see who blinks first again.
Is this rate of unbroken or forever growth sustainable with Major League Baseball then, if you're not looking at salaries and you don't want a salary cap?
It's probably not, because anything that lasts forever can't. I forget the economist who quoted that. I didn't expect to need an econ quote on that subject.
But, you didn't expect to go into Hayek in the middle of this conversation.
Oh, I do like Hayek, so that's the thing. But we don't get into that. I don't want to get into the whole Austrian economist fetish that I have. But that's
no.
A whole other thing.
Austrian economist.
Oh, the Austrian
fetish.
School. I knew it. I knew you were an Austrian school guy.
I thought I was the only one.
No, all my computers on my home server are named after Austrian schools. I'm typing for Mises right now. I have Rothbard. I have Hayek. I have Bastiat.
Are you not
and
joking?
And I have Schumpeter.
I don't think he's kidding.
I'm not joking.
No.
That's amazing.
I will send a screenshot to
you just,
to the producer.
You just made a friend,
His
Dan.
His trash can is called the Keynesian trash can. All right. I'm sorry. Where were we?
Well,
as
usual,
is this growth sustainable?
We've derailed it.
I think that there's only so much you can do. There's only so many more fans you can bring, and there's only so many more mediums to watch things. So I do think that growth won't happen forever in baseball. If anyone's ever watched Deep Space Nine, baseball actually declined around this time until the last season was like in 2030. I don't think we're that close, thankfully.
So, Dan, what happens when the lockout does happen? I've been arguing that this is really not a good time for it, because baseball is improving. Viewership is going up. People are watching more. Ratings are going up. The interest in the sport has increased with some of the, you know, rules changes, like the pitch clock, I think, has been hugely successful. So to lose that momentum, I don't think it's a particularly good thing. How do you see it, though? Is this the sort of thing that baseball is just going to pick up where it left off, no matter how long this lockout lasts?
You can lose momentum. We saw that in 1994. But I guess 1994 sticks out because back then there were a lot of incentives for the teams and the players to come to an agreement, and they were unable to. Baseball had a tendency to do a lot of self-inflicted wounds at times, and this would be one of them. I don't think the last lockout really helped things anyway, and I don't think it really changed the state of the game in any way. I'm not sure how this ends, but it's going to be a very, very messy year.
And not to be glib, but I mean, we don't have steroids to help us get out of the slump after the lockout in the 90s, because you know, Ronge and I have talked about how a lot of owners will talk about the steroids and condemn the steroid era, but not a single one of them would say, I wish it didn't happen, because it brought in a lot of money and a lot of eyeballs for baseball. So what would be the equivalent of that if fans do lose their taste if there's a lockout?
I don't know. I don't know if a rule change or anything to improve the pace of the game change it to a strategy that's more balls in play than it is now, because we are still very three true outcomes in baseball, simply because that is the most efficient way to score runs, basically. I don't know what the solution is. I think it's just going to be bad when it happens. And I think that players have to consider just how deep they can go into it, because I don't think that you can really get a huge gain from their point of view unless you are able and have the cohesion to actually risk losing an entire season. That's the kind of, because owners can wait better than players can, because owners can own a team for 30, 40 years, while players have a very limited window in which they can earn their fame, earn their wealth, earn their place in history.
Dan Zimborski with Fangraphs joining us here on KMOX. And by the way, for the person who's a casual baseball fan, three true outcomes means home run, strikeout, or walk. That's what that means. And then that's what the game had been for a very, very long time. You're either striking out, you're hitting a home run, or you're drawing a walk. And that is not necessarily the best brand of baseball for a lot of people.
Huh.
The other thing here is, I know that the network deals that a lot of teams have, that they've got these regional sports networks, and you've had the Dodgers, for example, for years. You couldn't watch them if you lived in certain parts of LA, or if you had certain a certain provider. And then the difficulty of accessing your team in certain markets, and some of these regional sports networks that are failing and, you know, going bankrupt. What do you think the future of baseball on television is going to end up being, and how quickly could that come?
You're going to see more and more streaming. I think that baseball is going to have to figure outside of the balkanization, because I don't think people are going to have 17 different streaming services to watch every game. I'm not going to, you know, look for the Facebook game and the whatever they have, if TikTok,
Apple TV,
Apple TV, and they're still kind of sorting out streaming. And that's kind of a wider industry problem, not just a baseball problem, because the whole streaming era has kind of upset the apple cart, of which was a very stable, you know, everyone just had cable and paid a lot for 400 channels or whatever. I do think that eventually you're going to have solutions that involve people getting to see the games they want without, you know, again, 15 different streaming services. But it's also a lot better to watch baseball than it was when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I mean, I was very fortunate. I grew up in Baltimore, and we got, TBS, we got WGN so we could watch the Cubs, we got WWOR so we saw the Mets. But now I can watch a lot more baseball than that.
Could it be that MLB just has control over all the local broadcasts?
It's very possible in the long term, or at least some kind of umbrella agreement or arrangement, because MLB has done a good job with streaming generally, not necessarily when you talk about making it available for everyone. I don't know if that's still the case, but at one point, the whole state of Iowa was blacked out of games for six teams, and people in eastern Montana couldn't watch Mariners games because, you know, seeing a game on TV, people say, oh, well, I'm not going to make that 1,200-mile drive to get to the game tonight now, which probably wasn't a thing. So baseball has a lot of questions, and that's one thing that owners don't all agree on, and that makes things even trickier because owners are very protective over their markets, over where they have the juice to block things and where they don't. You see the issue with the Giants and the A's before they move to Sacramento and maybe Las Vegas. We'll see. I guess it's one of those, may you live in interesting times, Chris's.
That's right. And last thing, before we say goodbye, who's winning this series? It's tied at two.
I hate to say the Dodgers, but I just think the Dodgers are just that dangerous when they have their front four healthy and pitching.
Well, I'm kind of with you. I thought they might win last night and then go ahead and win again tonight, and then it'd be over. But we'll see. And there's going to be at least a game six. Dan Szymborski, we appreciate your time. Good to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Dan is with FanGraphs and contributor to ESPN. So Dodgers and the Blue Jays will play again tonight.
I am thrilled. I want this sucker to go seven games.
Well, you know how I feel about a game six. I love it.
This guy loves himself a game six. So do you want it to end in six?
No, I just like that it exists.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want there to be seven games.
Well, I think this is great, and I did not think Toronto was going to bounce back last night and win that game after losing an 18. I really didn't.
No, man, that's...
I'm so thrilled.
Maybe the reason they did is because the Dodgers were so tired, and they weren't. They were rejuvenated for whatever reason. I don't know. Poor Shohei had to start after getting on base nine times the game before.
I'm livid.
Why?
I'm losing it. I really want to like Matt. I really do.
Matt who?
Pudgeski.
Oh, who cares? Why? What about him?
Well, he's our intrepid producer.
Oh, that's who that is.
Yes.
Oh.
He's the one who is adorable.
Well, handsome, yeah.
Okay. What are we doing here?
HR!
It's just we're trying to be truthful to the audience, are we not?
We are. He's adorable. He's a nice guy. He's
handsome.
Great. And I want to like him, you know, but
he makes it very difficult, is what you're saying.
He does. Sometimes he makes it so difficult, because here's the thing. I have not seen very many movies. We always joke about how many movies I have not seen. But this guy missed the entire 90s.
Well, I was born in 99.
So I know you actually missed them.
I did.
But you've seen movies from the 80s.
I have, yeah. There's a gap in the 90s for me.
Yeah, what is it with you skipping a generation?
I don't know.
Have any of our listeners, I'm going to say this, you tell me what movie it's from. You can't handle the truth.
Yeah. Matt.
Is that A Few Good Men?
Yeah, because he's never seen it.
I haven't seen it, though.
He's never seen
A Few
Good Men.
Why do you know that
Men?
That's what, why'd you guess?
I just know the famous scene. I can picture Jack Nicholson saying it with Tom Cruise, I think.
Never seen Top Gun.
No.
Never
the
seen...
The original Top Gun. Yeah. Have you seen the...
No.
You haven't seen the new one
no,
either?
No, he hasn't seen anything. He's okay. Never seen Sleepless in Seattle, you know, like okay, some of the stories. He hasn't seen The Hunt for Red October, Schindler's List, Fargo, Fight Club, Apollo 13, Dances with Wolves, Terminator, Hoosiers, Back to the Future. You've got to be kidding
Wait,
me.
Wait, which Terminator? That was from the 80s.
Any of the Terminators.
Oh.
Name one. I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen Back to the Future?
No.
How have you...
Is that a period piece? What is this?
Back to the Future?
I'm kidding.
Isn't this just upsetting? You are an old soul.
I know. I'm not. I'm older than that.
You are older than that, but like I'm older than that, and I don't see any movies. Everything I watch now is either Murder, She Wrote or Hallmark movies, and Murder, She Wrote's on Hallmark. That's why I see it. And so I've seen nothing. I'm the worst. But even I have seen these movies.
I don't know why. There's just. I mean, I really like the music of. In the movies of the 70s, but there seems to just be a gap with the 90s where it's just like my least favorite genre
Dude,
of music,
of
movies.
These are some of the best movies
well,
ever made.
Well, it can't
made.
Be your least favorite if you haven't actually seen them.
That's it.
Ranch,
like,
that's an excellent point.
I can tell you.
Excellent.
I can tell you right now that I despise country music because
yeah.
I've heard,
you've heard
so
it.
Much
That's because you're always hanging out at the
music.
Honky-tonk and you're always wearing hats called Cowboy Bar or something.
I love the bar. I love the people there. And all of my friends love country music, so I am a prisoner. I'm a prisoner within this
Dude,
country music
you
world.
You have to watch these movies.
All right. Homework.
They're good. They're some of the best, the finest. You know what they are? They're films.
Oh, okay. Cinema?
They're cinema. These are some of the finest films you will ever see.
I love a good film. Or as the some Irish people say, film.
Film.
I love a good film.
If I were on the shores in... when the Hunt for Red October, when the Red October surfaced and Sean Connery defected and walked off that submarine, I would have married him right there.
Stick with us. We do have the Midday Midlife coming up at 11:30 today. We're going to talk to Paula Almgren, who is an expert and an attorney, an elder law attorney, because if you have an aging parent and you're trying to think ahead about what might happen next and caring for them, Paula will have some answers for you. That's coming up at 11:30. But the final hour of the show is next. Joe Bonamassa tickets to give away as well. Got to be listening for your chance to win on KMOX.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.